Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are going to be in the Epistle, 2 Corinthians, the New Testament. So get past the Gospels, find Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and then 2 Corinthians, and find chapter 11. We will be reading chapters 11 to 13, finishing out the book of 2 Corinthians today. I will pray, read through these passages, taking some devotional pauses, think of application at the end, and then close in prayer. And I want to encourage you to be praying along with me. Be thinking about and meditating on God's Word as I read. Think about what it is God is trying to get your attention with and how to apply it to your life this week, today even. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for Paul's writings. And thank you for the letters to the Corinthian church, a church that was really messed up, and some great things, Father, to be able to focus on how to align ourselves and our ministry with you. And I pray that you would help me to learn what I am supposed to learn today and to apply it to my life today to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians 11. I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. So he's reminding them that he preached the simplicity of Christ, the gospel to them. But there are many others coming and preaching really a different Christ, a different Messiah, a different Jesus. Verse 5, I do not think I am in the least inferior to those super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. We have made this perfectly clear to you in every way. Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you and needed something, I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows I do. So apparently, in that day, you had a lot of different preachers traveling around and people coming in and out of the churches preaching. But apparently, there were some who were placing themselves above other people, placing themselves above Paul. They were maybe more polished speakers. They maybe drew larger crowds. I don't know. But apparently, they were also getting money from the people. And so Paul is talking to them, reminding them of the truths that he spoke to them, and to have them not get distracted by these other things. Verse 12, and I will keep on doing what I am doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false prophets, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Now, he's not just talking about what we think of today, maybe the church down the road, that's got a better pastor and better music program, and they're drawing people away. In that day, you didn't have the churches down the road that you just went to. You did have people who claimed to be apostles who wanted the authority that came with the apostleship, and there would be false teachers come and false apostles come to try to get people to follow them and to give them money. Verse 16, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools, since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? so am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascenes guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. And that's the end of chapter 11. It may seem a little strange to you, Paul talking about boasting and being a fool. I guess we're not used to that kind of talking here in Scripture, know exactly what he's talking about. But I think basically if you put it in context of everything he does, Paul's trying to show them, listen, whatever the people are boasting about, I could boast about those things as well. I have all the pedigree and all the authority that they have and all the experiences. But what's more, I've suffered for this true gospel in ways they have not suffered. Chapter 12. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do not do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Pause there for a moment. You know, Paul's boasting is unlike everybody else's boasting, isn't it? I mean, he really talks about the suffering that he goes through. He kind of refers to himself in third person, but to refer to the fact that God gave him some special revelations. He's not being specific about those, but the fact that God gave those to him puts him in a category, right? Apart from most people. But he also recognizes God did not want him to get full of pride. So he gives them this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is. It seems like if it's a thorn in the flesh, it may very well be a physical thing. Some think it was his eyesight that seemed to have an issue. But he doesn't focus on those particulars. He focuses on the fact that God's grace is sufficient for him. In fact, in his weaknesses, not in his strengths, not in what he might boast about like other people are boasting, but in his weakness comes the strength in God's blessing. Verse 11. I have made a fool of myself, but you drove me to it. I ought to have been commended by you, for I am not in the least inferior to the super apostles, even though I am nothing. I persevered in demonstrating among you the marks of a true apostle, including signs, wonders, and miracles. How were you inferior to the other churches, except that I was never a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. Now I am ready to visit you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you, because what I want is not your possessions, but you. After all, children should not have to save up for their parents, but parents for their children. So I will very gladly spend for you everything I have and expend myself as well. If I love you more, will you love me less? Be that as it may, I have not been a burden to you. Yet, crafty fellow that I am, I caught you by trickery. Did I exploit you through any of the men I sent to you? I urged Titus to go to you, and I sent our brother with him. Titus did not exploit you, did he? Did we not walk in the same footsteps by the same Spirit? Have you been thinking all along that we have been defending ourselves to you? We have been speaking in the sight of God as those in Christ, and everything we do, dear friends, is for your strengthening. For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear that there may be discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged. I think Paul is maybe using some sarcasm throughout here. It's hard to tell because it's in writing from 2,000 years ago, but just in context of his relationship with them, with his people, his churches, and the way he typically would talk about himself and the humility that he would typically have. And I think he makes his point again in comparison to the false teachers that he and his team were not there to gain from them, but to give to them, to sacrifice for them. And he also recognizes that when he comes back to visit them, as he hopes to do, he's going to have to set some of them straight. He's afraid of what he's going to find if they don't get things in order. In chapter 13, the final chapter of 2 Corinthians, this will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others, since you were demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me. He is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him and are dealing with you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you failed the test? And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong, not so that people will see that we have stood the test, but so that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong, and our prayer is that you may be fully restored. That is why I write these things when I am absent, that when I come I may not have to be harsh in the use of my authority, the authority the Lord gave me for building you up, not for tearing you down. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All God's people here send their greetings. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that is the end of 2 Corinthians. And again, there is a ton here. I encourage you to go back through these chapters, consider them, and consider your application. What about for me? Well, the passage that sticks with my heart is in 2 Corinthians 12. He's talking about the thorn in the flesh. Doesn't detail what that is, but just that there's pain there. He begged God to take it away. God didn't take it away. And here's an apostle. Here's the greatest missionary of all time. Here's a guy who could do miracles by the power of God. He was an apostle, and yet he did not have authority over his own weakness. 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that by that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insult and hardships and persecution and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I am like everyone else, I think, in that I do not like pain, and that I do not like my weaknesses. I do not want to highlight them. I want to get rid of them. I want to overcome them. I do not want to be in pain. I want it to go away. And yet I certainly agree with the Apostle Paul. I've seen it in my life and ministry. In my weakness, it's when God is strong. It's when I am nothing that God is everything. And I need to accept the things that God has given me that he is not going to take away. And the different things that come in life and ministry that, physical and spiritual, that just are beyond my control. But to see God's strength in those things is what I want. So, Father, help me today to lift up my weaknesses, to highlight my weaknesses, to not be afraid of those weaknesses that come out so often. And even in anything physical, Father, now and to come, that caused me some pain, may I rest in you. May I rejoice in you, because through those things, you will show yourself to be strong. I'm your servant. Use me as pleases you. In you I am strong. In Jesus' name, amen.